So let's begin the bottom of Kuf Zayin and Beis, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Rava, Havashasi Chamra Kuli Mala Yomot Pischa. He would drink some wine every Erev Pesach. Kihecha de Nigrare li libe de Nechel Mata Tfe La Orsa. In order, the Nigrare will kind of pull his heart. Apparently drinking the wine makes someone a little bit more hungry for eating matzah later that night. So it was an enhancement, because the din is you want to try to eat matzah b'teavon, as we learned earlier in the parak. So by drinking the wine helped him eat b'teavon with a real big hunger for the matzah. That was like a hider mitzvah, if you will. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava mina minala. How does he know this? The chamra migra gari. How do we see that wine really has this effect of drawing a person's heart, making someone more hungry? The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Bein hakosos halalu im ratzel lishos yishta. Between the first two cups, if a person wants to drink more cups of wine, he's allowed to. But bein shlishi l'rvi lo yishta. But between the third and the fourth cup, one's not allowed to drink anymore. Now, vi amrit misad soid, if you want to say that wine simply fills you up, fills a person up and doesn't make you hungrier, then amay yishta haka achil achila achil matza achila gasa. Then you end up eating achilas gasa. Achilas gasa is a large amount of eating. It's overindulging, and you're not allowed to eat. You're not yotze the matzah if it's achilas gasa. Matzah has to be eaten in b'teavon when you're still hungry, not as a dessert when you're stuffed. It's very problematic nowadays when you have the afikoman at the end of a meal. The whole Pesach Seder, people are stuffed, and they're just like shoving and forcing the matzah down their throat. You're really supposed to eat the matzah b'teavon when you're hungry. So if wine was really makes you full, so why would there be a heter to drink additional koses of wine between kos 1 and kos 2? The reason you can't drink between kos 3 and kos 4, we'll see in the Rashbam in a moment, is for a different reason. But you shouldn't be allowed to drink more if it really fills you up.
This is Rashi?
Okay, oh, top is Rashi, Rashbam. We try to do the Rashbam. That's been the minhag to do Rashbams over Rashi. So we'll do Rashbam in a second. So the Gemara concludes there.
Rashbam is in old Gemara, only
no. He's here in Psachim, Arvei Psachim. That's last parak, and he's also in Baba Basra.
And the rest is Rashi.
Yeah, Baba Basra, starting from the third parak, it switches from Rashi to Rashbam. I think we had lost.
But you have Ran, right? You have a few Maseches that you don't have Rashi also.
The Ran is in the Dharm. Ran's instead of Tosos in the Dharm. There are a few Maseches where you have it says Rashi, but it's really a Mefarish. It's not really Rashi. For example, the in the Makos, it's the Ravon. Ravon, not Rashi. It doesn't say Ravon. It's written as Rashi, but it's really the Ravon. You have other Maseches like that also exactly in the Dharm. The Mefarsh there supposedly is not Rashi.
Why is it not Rashi? Because he wasn't able to write it?
No, he I think we just didn't have his kuntres, his notebook or his on it. But I think he wrote on everything. Amazing what Rashi accomplished. He wrote on Tanakh and nothing he didn't write on. We just don't have access to what he had. Like the accomplishments of Rashi and the Rambam were absolutely amazing. Okay, so again, so the Gemara therefore says, so it can't be that wine fills you up, because then you couldn't be able to drink between coast number 1 and 2. So, and then the Gemara concludes four lines from the top. Ela shmamina migrar garus. So we see from here the heter to drink between coast 1 and 2. It must tell you that the wine actually makes you hungrier and does not fill you up. So explains Rashbam. The second Rashbam, Bein Shlishi Levi Lo Yishta, why can't you drink between 3 and 4 if it doesn't fill you up? Shlishi de Birkasa Mazon, it's benching. Techevin de Lochashin and O Ligri Libe Lo Sharvino Lei. So once you've benched and you already ate your matzah, so we're not concerned anymore with you drinking more to get you hungrier because you already yod to the matzah. Denira Kimosiv al Arba Kosas, because if you drink between 3 and 4, it appears as if you're adding on to your kosas more than 4. Between 1 and 2, where the wine actually gets you hungrier and it's a keem and the eating the matzah, there's a heter. Once you're ready Makayim the matzah before benching, and so then, and afterwards, there's no reason to drink to make you hungrier, you're not allowed to drink anymore. That's first shot in the Rashbam. And then he writes, "Begamar Yishalmi Nimtza Lama." Why the reason you can't drink between 3 and 4? Kadesh Lo Yishtakir, so you don't get drunk. Yisilo Chazi L'Migmar Halila, you're not going to be able to finish saying Halal if you're drunk. Upar Chasim Halok Far Mushuchar Hu Shehare Shasa Harbin Mesudasa. What do you mean? He drank the whole time during the meal, isn't he already drunk? Drunk. So what's going on here? Gemara says, "U'Mishana Yain Shebesoch Hamazon Lo Mishakir." When you drink with meal, with bread, with cake, that, you know, the mizonos helps to saturate a little bit the wine, you don't get drunk. But after the meal, you're just drinking cups and cups of wine, you will get drunk, and therefore that's a difference.
You could have asked the same question about Rava, that he drank the whole Erev Pesach.
Without eating anything.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's true. There was no...
I guess he was in a different Madrega.
Right. Unless he was having some other food along with it, but you're right. Or it's possible that when he drank one cup of wine, that's not a big deal. But
He waited between cups, maybe.
Right, maybe between cups. But maybe just like he had one kosa of, but here, after having four cups.
It says he drank the whole day.
Whole day, did it say the whole day, yeah?
Really, do they say they don't drink at all?
Drink what, stam, you're saying?
It says Rav would drink wine all day long on Erev Pesach.
Okay, it's like kulam all year, you're right, the whole day. Okay, stam akasha. Okay.
You said what? It's chad tzadikim.
Tzadikim don't drink alcohol.
But wine, yes.
Yeah.
You should, I think so. I mean, how do they make Kiddush?
For the men, not just, you know, to be happy.
Yeah. They have shabbos.
I think on Sudas mitzvahs they drink on the country, yeah.
Schnapps.
Especially the mikubalim, right?
I've never seen, but...
I know. let's say the Baba Sadi used to serve.
Wine?
I don't know if he himself used to drink, but he used to serve everybody.
Okay, so...
Did you see the Baba Sadi?
No, I never got to see. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Zok the Gemara, five lines from the top. Rav Sheshes have a Yosef betanisa komala yoma de pischa. Every Erev Pesach, Rav Sheshes would have a he would fast that day. So Gemara says, Neima suggests maybe Kasava Rav Sheshes Samach Lemincha Gedola Tanan. So this goes back to yesterday's daf. So we didn't do that, but the Gemara says a person's not supposed to be eating on Erev Pesach. The question is, what point does he have to stop eating? Is it from Mincha Gedola, which is much earlier in the day, around 1 o'clock, let's say, or is it later in the day Mincha Ketana, which is closer to 5:30, let's say? So Gemara suggests, Neimar Kasava Rav Sheshes Samach Lemincha Gedola Tanan. He must understand the mission, the first mission of the parak, that means Mincha Gedola, which is much earlier in the day, from 1 o'clock you're supposed to fast. Umshim Pischa Hu, and the reason why you are supposed to not eat is because of Karim Pesach, you have to perform the mitzvah of Karim Pesach, and they're afraid if you eat a suda, you're going to forget about the Karim Pesach because you're so involved in eating. So that's how he understands it. It's because of the Pesach. Hu Dilma Mimshach V'asalim Nuyeh, it might... The Suda might extend and Limnui prevent him from Milam Vavid Pischa, who will prevent him from performing the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And he also holds Vesavar Laki Had Amr Yoshaya, Amr Blazar, Machshaya Ben Beseira, the Pesach. They permitted the Pesach to be Sheshachtu Shachvash Bar Basar, Lishmo. They are allowed to Shech the Korban Pesach from the morning, the entire day. Umitzafras Man Pischa, who from the morning is the time of the Karim Pesach, and therefore we see that the entire day is Roy for the Karim Pesach. And further, the Sefer Ben Harbaim, so when the Pasuk says the Karim Pesach has brought Ben Harbaim, it doesn't mean the afternoon, the way we paskin, they're supposed to bring it when it's, the sun starts going down, rather means Ben Erev de Esmol Erev de Idna. It means between the yesterday's evening till today's evening, which would include even Shacharis, all of that. So the Gemara says, why Rav Sheshes fast all day? Because he says, you're not allowed to eat an Erev Pesach because you have the mitzvah of Karim Pesach to do. What's his man of Karim Pesach? He holds Karim Pesach can be brought any time during the day, even the morning
even
time.
Chakras.
Exactly, even Shacharis. So since the mitzvah is incumbent upon a person the entire day, you're not allowed to eat the entire day. That's the Gemara understands why Rav Sheshes would fast
every
single day.
So he explained that this is according to
Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi Eliezer.
They permits the entire day for the Karim Pesach, and the Gemara is trying to do there.
He permits from Alos Hashach from
probably Nates and
Lechachila. Right.
From Nates, and the pasuk says Bein Harbaim. Bein Harbaim typically means the afternoon.
From the night, and here it says from the night before to the
that's how he darshens the words, right? So now we see the entire daytime is permitted for the Karim Pesach, which would mean that the entire day would be also to eat.
Right.
So that's how why Rav Sheshes Gemara suggests he fasted all Erev Pesach, and Gemara says no, Amri lo. That's not the reason why. Shiny Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was different. The istinus hava. He was an istinus, which means the itam bitzafra midi delorsa lo hava mahani le michlem. If he tasted just a little bit in the morning, it would really ruin his appetite at night. And as we said, you're supposed to have an appetite. You're supposed to eat l'teavom, eating when you're hungry. So his morning breakfast would have ruined that. So that's why he refrained from eating anything Erev Pesach. So the Gemara said, look at Tosos for a moment. Tosos writes, the second Tosos, Rav Sheshes Hava Yosef Betanisa, Lab Davka, Ela Shomer Atzma Milechel. That didn't really mean take upon himself. He wasn't a Kabbal, a Tainis. He didn't read Vayachal or anything. No one read Vayachal, so that's a Tzibor. But he didn't really take upon himself a fast day. Rather, he just ate, he prevented himself from eating too much. He was just Shomer not to eat, but it wasn't a real din of fast day. Inami, alternatively, Gemara suggests, Tosos suggests, rather, Hayim Makabel of Mamash Tainus. He did accept upon himself the Tainus. Why? Kadesha Yehi Nizgar V'Nizhar Milechel. So he should really make sure that he's not allowed to eat. V'Habachoros Nagu L'Hispanos Erev Pesach. We see Tosos is a source here that the custom of Bachoros, now he's talking about fasting Erev Pesach, there's a minog that the Bachoros fast in Erev Pesach. The Kasani B'Masecha Sofrim, it's written there, She'ein Mis'anin B'Nisan El HaBachoros B'Erev Pesach. There's an issur to fast the entire month of Nisan. There are a number of reasons why one can't fast. The only day it's allowed to fast is Erev Pesach because Tainus HaBachoros. So the Torah brings this reason down. That's what's the reason why you fast on Erev Pesach. What's the reason? What's Tainus Bechoros about? To remember the fact that the Bechoros were saved. They were spared during Makas Bechoros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the Yidden, and he saved the Jewish Bechoros. Now, in terms of who has to fast, it's a Bechor, whether it's a Bechor only from the father, whether it's a Bechor only from the mother's side, any type of Bechor, any aspect that's a Bechor, whether just from the mother, from the father, you have to fast. And other Dinim come along with this. The question they ask, though, is if the reason is they fasted is because they were saved and protected during Tainus Bechoros, during Makas Bechoros, shouldn't they be making a Yimei Simcha Misha? Shouldn't they be making a Suda in celebration that they were saved? So the Achronim explain, some of the Achronim explain, that similar to Tainus Esther, although it's a fast day, it's really a Simcha, it's a happy fast day, and there are a number of kulas for that reason. It's a fast day that's happy, because that's how they did it. They fasted during the times of Esther, so they're just imitating what was done, but really with a simcha dikta twist to it. Here too also, one of the Achronim suggests that perhaps they fasted. They knew Makas Bechoros was coming. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, don't worry, you'll be saved, but they still it's appropriate to do the proper fast day anyway, just to have additional protection to themselves. So if that is true, I'm not sure if there's a source, but if it's true that they did fast in Yetzias Mitzrayim, then it would make sense why they would fast in Tainus Bechoros. He says this in Gemara now, quotes from our Mishnah, the two dots, V'afilu ani sheb'Yisrael lo yochel ad sheyesev. Mishnah told us in the first Mishnah in the Perek that even an ani, although he lacks what to lean on, he has an obligation. He's not yotze his mitzvah of eating until he actually leans. It actually doesn't say that, not yotze, it just says he can't eat until he leans. So Gemara says, Itmar, matza tzarech hasebo, maror eno tzarech hasebo. And Rashi explains why. Rashbam rather says matzah tzar chaseba kishe'ochel matzah shel mitzvah laila harishon kivnei chorin shehu zeichel gula, to remembering of gula and redemption. So chayrus haseba, leaning over, is also an inyan of redemption. Mara, which of course is not it's zeichel avdus. Rashbam explains, therefore you don't do haseba because haseba is a indication of chayrus. So that goes well with matzah, but it doesn't go well with mara. Then the Gemara says, what about yayin? Itmar Mishmei de Rab Nachman, it was said in the name of Rab Nachman, Tzarech Haseba. Some say you do require Haseba. Vitmar Mishmei de Rab Nachman, lo ain Tzarech Haseba. And then it says another statement in the same name also of Rab Nachman, not to do Haseba. Gemara says, v'lo pligi, these two statements are not a machlokas at all. Habatarti kasa kamai, habatarti kasa basrei. One of them is referring to the first two kosos, one of them is referring to the last two kosos. So which ones are which? Which kosos are you supposed to lean? Which ones are you supposed to lean? So Gemara says, amri le lahai gisa v'amri le lahai gisa. There's two different statements. Some say the first two you have to lean, the last two you don't have to lean, and some say the other way, the first two you don't lean, and the second two you do. Meaning, Gemara explains the svara. Amri lo lahai gisa, some say for this direction, meaning, trei kasa kamai, the first two cups, bai haseba, you have to lean. Why? The hashta who the kam mischalala cheres. So let's see how Rashbam explains that. Doesn't really explain how that means, but he says hashta the kam mischalala cheres because now the cheres is being chal. Is that how it's interpreted? Because now the cheres is being chal. It's the way it explains here that. Since now you're about to say Amiris Haggadah, which is the beginning of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Shibud of we're going to Cheres, now you have to have a Haseba. But Trei Kasa Basra, the last two Kosos, Lo by Haseba, Mai Dehava Hava. We already read the whole Sipur of the Redemption, the whole Haggadah is done, so we're not doing these Kosos in the context of the Haggadah, so there's no need to do Haseba anymore. That's the first shot. Then the Gemara says, Amri Leila Haggis is something the other direction. That really Adarabba, the opposite's true. Trei Kasa Basra by save the last Torah, Hahi Shaita the Kahav Yecheris. Because now, after reading the Sipur, imagine yourselves going through, now we're finally free. Shrei Kasa Kamai, the first two cups, Lo Boy Haseba, you don't require Haseba. Da'akati Avadim Hayinu, we're saying Avadim Hayinu, we're still Avadim in this storyline, therefore, Hayinu Kamar Hashra, so therefore we're not yet deserving of Haseba and Gula. So, Hashra, the Itmar Hachi, Vitmar Hachi, now that we say both, it makes sense to say both ways. So, Idiv Idiv Boy Haseba, both of them, you require Haseba to do all four Kosos Haseba.
So basically, they came out with this whole havemina because of the two different mandamars, right? Of yain tarech haseva and zayin ein tarech haseva.
Correct, because of those two statements.
But then we just basically ignore it and just say that they all need a seva.
Right, because there's a famous round here, but basically because it's a savik derabanan lekula, shouldn't it be mekil? And they just don't do it at all. It's only derabanan. The din haseba is only derabanan. So why are we being machmir? Make you do it for all four. Maybe you do it for none of them then. So Ron writes that since it's an easy thing to do, so we'll apply suffix. We'll ignore suffix derabanan lekula, and we'll apply the chumra of both.
So according to Rav, we would say that you need all the causes haseba. And according to Rav Nachman, none of them need haseba or no.
According to Rav. Where's Rav?
Because Itmar Mishmei de Rav Nachman Tzarech Haseva, Itmar Mishmei de Rav Nachman. Oh, right. Enter. Oh, they're both Rav Nachman.
Yeah, both Rav Nachman's, right, exactly. Uh-huh. So we're just saying he didn't. It's not a stira. It's one referring to two kosas, the other two kosas. Right. Not sure which one it's referring to. Now, in terms of Haseba, there's a Rav Shitas Rav Yehu who says Bizman Hazeh, there is no din of Haseba nowadays.
Because it's not the minhag.
Exactly, that's not how we show chairs. We don't lean. It's a strange thing. It's very awkward, uncomfortable to lean.
It's very. You know, you're always scared you're going to spill.
Yeah, it's very. Yeah, it's very strange. And you know, and the way you do a seba, so you look at the Rashbam, you look at Mishnah Berurah. You have to. It sounds like you have to have like another bed or a chair. Right. So like my brother-in-laws each year they have like these nuchumers how to do it the proper way. I just do it like this. And you lean, that's like the easiest way. Yeah. But they have like a chair, like they have two chairs like this, and then they're leaning like this on two,
right.
And it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world. So for that reason, Rav Yehuda says that there's no Haseba Bizman Hazeh.
Because in those days, they just sat like that the whole time.
Exactly, they were used to
that.
Like
when they were eating, when they're sitting to eat, that's how they were sitting.
Yeah.
Isn't it for Siman Melachim, the Haseba?
The same idea of Cheres Melachim, how kings eat, that's an expression of Cheres.
But that's also in those days.
Nowadays, I don't think. Maybe in
the Queen of England eating.
It could be maybe like in the third world countries, they still have it like that. I don't know, maybe.
It's weirder than if a goy sees us eating that way. It's weirder than if they see us with lulav and a dog, that's sitting there.
So Rama brings his Rav Yehuda down. Rama says, "B'di'eved, one can be so meichel on the Rav Yehuda, bisman hazeh, not to do. B'di'eved, you can be so meichel on him, but lechachila, one should really do haseba, even bisman hazeh, as awkward as it is. So what's this machlokas, whether bisman hazeh exists or not? So it goes back to the Rishonim to find what does it mean haseba. Everyone agrees it's about cheres, but is it cheres as if we're leaving right now, or are we trying to remember what happened then? So the Rambam writes, Kili Yatzim Mitzrayim, as we're doing right now, we're going through Yitzias Mitzrayim. So right now, the minhag is not to do that. So that's Pshat of the Rav Yehuda. Nowadays, we're going through redemption. So what's the minhag? How do people eat Becheres? But if it's to remember what was done, so we're going to do many strange things that was done then, because it was done then, even though it's not done now. Like, so this far, do you walk around the table with the matzah on over your shoulders?
Not around the table, we go into a different room. And
you jump, you put uh-huh. some water, no, you jump over, no, you put like,
no.
Some people
we
do
just, it's really just, nowadays it turned into, my grandfather started it, where we just get the kids into it, so we take them into another room, we dress them up, and then we come in, you know, just to get them like to laugh and to be into
uh-huh.
it, but that's... And that's what we do. We take something.
Right, so you guys try to re-experience what happened then. So according to this, Haseba would be appropriate also.
Right, yeah. I'll tell you, the kids get a kick out of it. Because, you know, you put them in towels and sheets on their heads and stuff like that. And make them look like Bedouin.
Yeah, we buy Egyptian costumes for the kids also. We make someone Paro and someone like all the different characters. Moshe.
You got to play a whole game with it.
Yeah, we have a great time with it.
Sure, they always fall asleep.
We do a scavenger hunt for them, you know, when the rest of the Haggadah were not so interested in, we had them run around and find different things throughout the house related to Mitzrayim, to the whole story.
Oh, I never heard about such a thing.
The scavenger, we made on our own, we made up the scavenger hunt. The kids love it. the dressing up we got from all the Sephardim. So we dress up with, you buy all these great Halloween costumes that look like 1 year. My wife, she was driving somewhere on Sunrise Highway. She saw like this big carpet that was hanging out there. And there was a picture of like what looked like a paro. So she went in and bought this rug. And the guy's like, we have a much bigger and a nicer rug over here of the same one. I'm like, no, we just want a small one. We don't need a big fancy thing. So we take him out. And when we pass through like Kriyas Yamsuf, we like stomp on this rug. And just to give it a little bit more, make it more fun for the kids.
So careful, it might be going to be an act for everybody else.
So just one interesting chakira, just a good famous brisker rav on haseba, how haseba works. So you do haseba for each mitzvah, achilas matzah. When you eat the matzah and you eat karm pesach, you're supposed to do it by haseba. Is that haseba din in the mitzvah or is it din in the haseba? Which means, I'll show you two nafkamina, which will highlight the point. If someone eats matzah without haseba, is he yotze the matzah or not? So that's a big machlokas. If haseba is just general thing, then you're still yotze matzah. We just say, do haseba during matzah, during wine, it makes sense. But if you don't do it, you're still yotze your mitzvah of matzah and yayim. The flip side is, let's say you do haseba, just stam, without eating a matzah or yayim. You just lean over like that. Is there any mitzvah of haseba? If haseba is just a generic thing about the night, so certainly you're yotze. But if haseba is really a din in each particular mitzvah, leaning outside the context of the mitzvah means absolutely nothing. So the Brisk Rav, I think, is medayik from the Rambam. I haven't seen it in a while, but I think he says Tudinim, because he's mentioned haseba in the context of the mitzvahs, but then he says also kol ha-mesiv ha-reizim ha-shubach or something. So he sounds like anyone who leans in addition to the mitzvahs just stomp throughout the meal, it's praiseworthy, and therefore it sounds like there's also the general idea of being haseba outside the context of mitzvahs.
If a person doesn't do a sava during the eating of the matzah, he has to eat another shiur.
Yeah.
So now, what about achila gasa? What about that little problem? Because we're already eating 4,500 matzot.
Right.
So it's like, how much more can I pile on myself?
Right.
So I guess we can always.
It's a more reason to remember to do a sava.
Well, or we can rely on
Ravya. The Ramah brings the Ravya. You, I'm not so sure about. Yeah.
Sometimes we use the compass. We gotta go.
But when it comes to the kosos, let's say you forgot to do a seba during the 3 and 4, I think you're not supposed to do it again, repeat it again, the drinking of the wine during 3 and 4, because as we said above in the beginning, that it looks like you're being mostly from the kosos. So you can't repeat 3 and 4. And since there's a mandamar that you don't have to do it for the second half, the last two, you don't do a save in the first place anyways, but you combine them all together, you don't repeat it for 3 and 4. The first and two, if you don't do a seba, you have to. But achilas gasa is a good question. That might be an interesting thing. If I eat any more to achilas gasa, I might not be yotze the mitzvah, so it might be a game time decision. You can't call your rub at that point. But you're probably fine either way. You have somebody to rely on. And one interesting thing also, we still have a little bit of time. I think the next page is very short. The Shaila they talk about, the Karim Pesach was eaten in the base of Mikdash also. People had I think the last group of the last cut of the people bringing the Karim Pesach, they remained in the base of Mikdash. They ate the Karim Pesach in the base of Mikdash. So how are they able to eat the Karim Pesach leaning? How could they even sit? Is it Isser to sit in the Azara? Ein Yeshiva Azara, El Machlos Beis David. How are they able to sit? How are they able to perform Haseba while eating Karban Pesach in the base of Mikdash? So the Sefer Mikrai Kodesh writes that just like we'll see in a little bit, maybe I should have waited until we saw it first, but the Gemara says a Talmud in front of his Rav, in front of his Rebbe, does not have to, or maybe he even shouldn't, do Haseba because Kavod Harav, or Mora Harav, the fear of a Rav, he should not do Haseba. It's inappropriate to do that. So too, in the base of Mikdash, Mora Shemayim, one's not allowed to sit, and you're Yotze the Matzah, the Karban Pesach nonetheless.
The third cut ate it because of a Zman issue that they wouldn't be able to make it back to their houses or what?
I don't remember exactly the reason, but I do remember, I think I recall when the first cot left, they went down to the Harbai. So the next cot went, they were right outside the base of Mikdash. And the third cot, I think they remained in the base of Mikdash. I believe so. I think the Mishnah said that. Was it a timing issue? It might have been, because it probably got close to...
But I mean, if you... I don't remember that Gemara, but, you know, like... Let's just say I have 15 people menuim on my say. What, we're all coming into Beit HaMikdash to do the Shechita? Like, there's going to be billions of people there for the third cut.
That's the mess.
Yeah, that's sure right.
What are we going to do?
I think they were coming anyways. I mean, I think they were all present.
They were all present. They all had to be there. They didn't have time.
They all have to be there.
Yeah, they all had to be during the Shechita.
Did they have to be or were they there?
There's no.
I'm not sure.
Why? There's no smicha. There's nothing.
No, exactly. We saw a shliach. One shliach could go shliach on behalf of. You don't need to be there, right? One shliach. We saw that a number of times. A shliach could go on behalf of everybody else. But I guess
and
if
then
you were,
bring it right.
But I guess everyone would have to come afterwards to eat it where
like,
the parabasa was.
Someone in the Gemara that you know that you like you had 600,000 people
yeah.
inside.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
what was that?
Right. That was a large number. It was a yeah.
I know, but okay. Also, a little weird. Like if I'm staying in a hotel, you know, today. I'm staying in a hotel over there in Jerusalem. It's like, okay, everybody, let's go to Beit HaMikdash to eat. You know, we're eating here in the cafeteria. What am I? Just bring the korban here.
If you're in the King David, it's much cheaper than the Beit
HaMikdash. You never know what Beit HaMikdash is doing. King David's going to have to one-upmanship.
So I give one other answer. Tosin Yuma also says, there is no Isser of Yeshiva when it comes to Achias Kachim, though. Stam sitting is a problem. When you're sitting for the purpose of eating the Karban the Karchim and other, and Karban Pesach included, there is no Isser. So that's one would actually be allowed. So it seems to be a Machlokas Mikrei Kodesh versus the Tosvos, whether one would actually sit and do Haseba in the Beis HaMikdash while eating the Karban Pesach. Says the Gemara now, we are towards the bottom, Praktan. Right, Praktan Lo Shmei Haseba. What does Praktan mean? Rashbam says, first wide line, Praktan panav klape mala v'shochev al achorav. He's leaning on his back and eating, lying down, and that's not considered haseba. It has to be towards the on the side. We'll see in a moment. The Gemara will tell us.
Where is it?
See, in Rashbam or the Gemara?
No.
Where Praktan, it's around 15 lines from the bottom. See Tosos Praktan? It's like right around there. Yeah, the last word on the line. Mm-hmm. So Praktan, lo shmei haseba, leaning on a back, is not considered...
Is that like reclining? Or like literally sleeping on his back.
It sounds like literally lying down on your back.
I think he means like reclining, like on a lazy boy.
Yeah.
I think that's what I mean. Because why wouldn't he say shochev?
Well, he said he does. The Rashbam
says
v'shochev al achorav.
Why wouldn't the Gemara use that language? What is praktan? Where is it?
Praktan apparently was the Gemara elsewhere uses this lashon praktan. Apparently that means the lying position.
Okay.
It could be shochev. Could be understood lying in the back, lying on your stomach.
Using many other words for this.
Pragdan, שמעת פעם את המילה הזו, פרקדן?
זה נרמק.
זה
נרמק.
Okay, and then the Gemara says, Haseba is Yamin, leaning on your right, lo shmei Haseba. Leaning to the right side is not qualified as Haseba either. So Rashbam says a very practical reason, why not? Kashare b'yamino hu tzarech lechel. You're righty, imagine leaning on your right shoulder, you have no access to your right arm, you're using your left hand, it's much harder. According to the Svara, of course, a lefty, leaving right side is much easier. He shouldn't lean on his. That's the first Svara of the Mishnah, of the Gemara. But then the Gemara adds also, v'lo, not only that is, el shema yaktim kana leveshet, v'yavol de sakana. So the way the Gemara at least understands the positioning of the windpipe, so leaning in your right side is going to cause it to go down the windpipe and to be quite dangerous. So therefore, leaning your left side, because that won't happen. So for two reasons, once you lead on this left side. Isha eats a baila lo baiseba. A woman, a wife, next to her husband does not require a seba, but it sounds like she may, but she doesn't have to. Vim isha chashuva, if she's a very important woman, unclear how to define that exactly, tzricha seba, she does need to, she must lean. Then the Gemara says, ben eitzel aviv, a son next to his father, by a seba. He needs to do a seba, and the Yachorim deal with why is there no issue of kavod and morah hanav there. They explain why that's not an issue, but the mice, a son, does need to lean in front of his
wasn't
father.
Wasn't a woman involved in the same nest? Why would she not require a seba?
So, look at the Rashbam, four lines from the bottom, he explains, the svara, isha eina tzricha haseba, bipnei emas baila, v'kfufala. The first reason is because of fear for her husband. It's inappropriate. And the second reason, it sounds like it wasn't the way of women to lean. That just wasn't how they ate.
את כל זה, אז למה אנחנו מסיבים? כי אנחנו בני מלאכים, כי יצאנו לחירות מעבדות, אז גם היא יצאה מחירות לעבדות, אז למה היא לא יכולה לסב?
זה כן.
אבל...
רק אישה חשובה.
רק אישה חשובה?
ברור.
Nowadays all the women.
If I tell my wife, you're not chashuva enough, don't do a savah, she'll slap me.
True. Halavai, that everyone views their wife that way. And should
be
that way.
Nowadays there is emas baal, not emas baal. So I think the woman should do a savah, not the man.
So it says, asks the Gemara, Yivari luhu, Talmud eitzah rabo mai. So what about a Talmud in front of his Rebbe? Is he supposed to, is he allowed to do Haseba? So Gemara says, Tashma, Abaye ki havin be mar zaginan abircha dadade. So Abaye was in the house of Amar, his Rebbe, Rabba. They would lean on each other's knees. Rashbam says, kol echad nishan al birke chavero. So you see, that this is like, you need to lean on something else. It's not just like on your chair. You have to mamash lean on horizontally. This is a great raya for that. When he got into the house of Rav Yosef, Amarlan, he told them, Rav Yosef said to us, Lot Shichusa, you don't need to, because Morah Ravcha Kemorah Shemaim. The fear you have for your Rebbe is like the fear that one has for Hashem. Mesiv, the Gemara asks the question, Im HaKol Adam Mesiv Vafiu Talmud Eitzah Rabo. Everybody, every individual has to lean. Even a Talmud in front of his Rebbe needs to lean. So this is against what Rav Yosef advised them not to do. The Gemara explains, Kitanya Hahi, that brisa which says that even a Talmud Eitzel Rabo has to do Haseba, Hahi Bishulio Denagri. That's referring to like an apprentice, says the last line, Rashbam, Talmido Shel Negesh in Milamda Umnas. They were learning a certain trade.
Nagar.
So what is that?
A carpenter.
Okay. Yeah. So a carpenter, he's learning this trade as a carpenter. So that's the Talmud, not a Talmud of Talmud Torah, but Talmud in terms of this trade of being a carpenter. And that's when you have to, yeah.
Oh, the Braita that says that everybody has to lean is talking about this apprentice for a carpenter. It's not talking about the Talmid Chacham.
Exactly. Says the Gemara now, three lines from the bottom, Yibay Lehu. Shamishmai. What about the Shamish? What about the waiter, the one who's serving, who's back and forth, bringing you the food? Does he have to perform Haseba? Tashma, the Amar Rebbe Yeshu ben Levi, Hashamish Sha'achal, Kezayis Matzah, Kishu Mesiv Yata. Mesiv in, lo mesiv lo. So he quotes a statement from Yishu ben Levi. A waiter must eat the kezayis matzah while leaning. If he leans, he's yotze. The Gemara is medayik, only when you lean. But if you do not lean, you're not yotze. So we see mefurish here that a shamish does have to lean as well when eating the matzah.
I mean, I would also maybe tie the... Sorry. I would tie the shamash also to the Korban Pesach when... You know, when he's eating next to the oven by himself, mm-hmm. and then the whole question about whether the chavurah should join him or not, and he should get up or not. So maybe we could tie it up and be like, hey, he's eating the Korban Pesach. I'm assuming he would have to also do the matzah the right way.
What's
he's,
the connection?
He's chayav, I don't know, he's chayav Korban Pesach, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe he's also chayav lechol matzah b'asava.
Well, he certainly is chayav to matzah and all the other things. The question is, I think, the question of Haseba, what's the habit to think he's not chayav? It's simply because since he's serving everybody else, he has that mora, the fear, as simply a servant and a waiter for this evening, so maybe he shouldn't lean just like a Talmud in front of his Rebbe. I think that's perhaps what the habit is. So the Gemara says now, Vama Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Noshim, I missed a line, I'm sorry. Shmamina, boy Haseba, Shmamina. So we learn from here that a waiter, in fact, does require Haseba. Last line of the Amid. Vamar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Noshim chayav osbar bakosis halalu. Like you're saying before, women are chayav in all the mitzvahs. I shouldn't say all the mitzvahs right now, but they're chayav in the dalet kosos at least right now. Why are they chayav in dalet kosos? Famous line. Comes up a few times in Shas. Sha'af hein hayu ba'os ha'nes. They too were involved in performing the nes of Mitzrayim. So which involvement did they have? So look at Rashbam. Sha'af hein hayu ba'os ha'nes. Damar b'masecha sota. The Gemara tells us. Beschar noshim sitkanios. Through the great schar that these great women had earned, shehayu bos and hador nigal, in that generation, because of them, we were redeemed. What were they doing? So they said they used to entice their husbands onto the apple trees and to continue to have children because of that great nes, that schar that tzidkanios have, that was the zechus we had to be goel. And he says, so too v'chein gavi mikra megillah, amar hachwi, the same concept, mishum de'al yedei Esther, hava, she was like the ikar part of the nes. Esther, was through her that the nes took place. V'chein gavi chanukah b'masecha Shabbos, lashon marani halevi. That's what he quotes. What is the story of Chanukah? So there with Yael, and Yael killed the general. So we see in all these three... But I'm sorry, Yehudit, Yael is by Sisera, thank you. Yeah, exactly, Yehudit, thank you. So So these three cases, by Pesach, by Chanukah, and by Megillah, the women were the primary, they were the ones performing the neis. It was through them. You look at Tosos. Tosos writes in the top. The second Tosos, let's look at first. Hayu Bosa Neis, he quotes the Rashbam, we could skip that to the second line, down in that Tosos. Last words of Vikasha. Vikasha, the Af Mashma Sheinan Iker. Af means like they were secondary. Af, they also were involved. It doesn't sound like they were the Iker Neis, they were an add-on later on. So it seems against the Rashbam. Ve'od, the Birushalmi Garis, Shaf Hein Hayu Bosa Sufik. Mashma, what does it mean, Sufik? But also Sakana, they were is a question whether they're involved in the any of the decrees that were in each of these cases. Mashma Bosa Sakana, Dilahashmi Laharugulabed, they may not have been involved in when they had the decree to kill all the Yid in the times of Purim, they may not have the decree upon them. So Vahada Amrinan Bipturos Musukka, Apagav Daphinu Bosa Nais, Kibasukos Hashafti Hasan Baase Deraisa. Okay, leave that aside for now. Vakosas Dirabanan Tiknu Gamlu Nashim Kevinshayu Bosa Nais. So what's going on here? What he explains is, not that the Iker Neis was performed Ayidei and Isha, rather that they were also saved as well in the Neis, in the Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim, so the Yushalmi says there's a topic whether or not the decrees were on the women or not. So the women were saved as well. They also experienced the Neis of Gulas Mitzrayim. During the times of Purim and Chanukah, they also experienced the Neis of going through. Not that they were the Iker, the Neis, rather they experienced it. So that's a big machlokas, Rashbam Tosos. What does it mean, the reason of Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Neis? So look at the top Tosos for a second. Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Neis now. V'lav Haytayma, had we not had the reason of Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Neis, Lo Hayu Chayavos, they would not have been Chayav. Mishum Dinoshim Peturos Mimitzis Asei Shazman Grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. It's limited to, of course, only the first night of Pesach. So they would not have been Chayav had it not been for this reason. Afagav Darbar Kosis Derbanon Kein Deraisa Tikin. Ah, even though Kosis is only a Din Derabanon, still nonetheless, they would, we have the same Kein Deraisa, they would have the same Dinam as Deraisa, and they would have been exempt since it's Mitzis Asei Shazman Grama. It's Masha from the Tosis here that a mitzvah Derabanon that is time-bound, women are actually chayven. Only a deraisa that is time-bound are they pater. Since that kosos is made k'ein deraisa, it has almost that stature of deraisa, that's why time-bound would apply to this as well. Okay, let's get to the Gemara now for more. Top line, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Arba kosos halalu, tzarech sheyehe behen k'dei mezikas kos yafeh. Has to have the proper dilution ratio of the water to wine, the normal ratio to be yotze. Okay, let's pay attention now to the Rashbam as we go through the next few ones. We'll from the four Y lines down, Shasan Chai, we'll have to explain, the Rashbam will explain each of these lines for us. So says the Gemara, Shasan Chai, if you drink it undiluted, very strong, yotze. Your yotze, Rashbam explains, Shalom mazgun b'mayim, yotze. Okay.
Because on the Geffen, I think it was Masechet Brachot, on the Geffen, Shatan Chai Lo Yatza. I think it says in Masechet Brachot, like you have to die. It wasn't even considered wine because it was so strong.
You were not, it's in terms of Bracha, maybe not in terms of Yotze.
Right.
Yeah, but at least in terms of the Bracha, you would say maybe a Shehakel, maybe not even a Shehakel. But here it's talking about in terms of Yatza, your mitzvah of Dalakosos. So you're wondering, if you don't say Hagafen, how are you going to be Yotze? Dalakosos? Oh,
so it's Dalakosot, you know, yain, not Coca-Cola.
Right.
So you're mixing today the wine with what?
In those days, they used
in
to...
In those days, yeah.
Used, because it was very, very heavy, so it wasn't even... like it wasn't almost wine, considering.
It was like a syrup,
so
probably.
So today you're not doing it?
Not today, no.
We do it. What? Weird things we do.
Standing Gemara says, let's say Shasan Bebas Achas, you drink it all in one shot, which means, Rashbam explains, Ira Arbasan Besoch Kos Echad, you put them all one large, like Kos Eliyahu, and you drink them all four in one, four revios in one time. That's according to Rabbeinu Shlomo, according to Rashi, as quoted by the Rashbam. Rashbam himself doesn't like this shot. He thinks, I'll say it outside, you drink four cups in a row, just not al seder. As opposed to dispersing them throughout the Haggadah where they're supposed to go, you just take down four shots of wine, one after the next. But they're individual cups as opposed to one large cup. That's how the Rashbam understands it.
I would maybe say just fill up the four kosot into one big pitcher and just like, I'll drink revit. Maybe bevatachat means from one kli.
Well, I think that's what the Rashbam, the first opinion that Rashbam quotes, I don't think it means without taking a breath. I think it means from one cup, taking four drinks from one cup, I believe.
But I'm saying, like, at the right time. Not just, like, to wait for the end of the Haggadah and then I'm going to sleep.
But Bas Achas is usually a timing issue.
Right. That is true, but it's just like, don't we have to drink it at the right time?
No, we do. This is all b'dieved. The Gemara likes to talk about b'dieved, okay, just to show extreme, you know, to pull certain fundamental points out.
When really the hachi perusho bevat achat shelo al seder mishnateinu ela shatan retzufim.
Drink them like consecutive. Yeah. But I think, the way I understand this, consecutive, four, one after the next, four different cups, as opposed to one big cup just taking four gulps.
Right.
I think it's four cups.
Right.
Ritzufim, right? One after the next. So then the Gemara says, Hishka mehen levanov, levene veso, yotza. You give to your kids the drink. You didn't drink any of it, but you give to your kids the drink, your yotza also. You don't have to actually, you have to just say the bracha. You don't have to actually drink the cup, according to this opinion here.
Oh, wow.
Shasan chai yotza. So what does it mean, shasan chai yotza? So when you drink undiluted your yotze, so Amar Rava Gemara explains yidei yayin yotza, yidei cheres lo yotze. Yotze, the wine aspect, you're not yotze the cheres. The two aspects to the kosa. So you have to drink. There's a chiv wine. There's also a chiv of feeling this idea of cheres. So Rashbam explains yidei yayin yotza sheshasa arba kosas, because you actually drink four cups of wine. But yidei cheres lo yotze, you're not yotze any of this freedom, this din of freedom that you're supposed to experience. Kolomer ein zu mitzvah shlema. It's not a complete one because she'ain chashivas ela b'mayim mazuk. It's not considered chashivas. It's not a inyan of cheres by drinking undiluted wine. That's not taste good. It's like syrup. There's no inyan of cheres there. Then the Gemara says, what does it mean shasan bebas acha? So you drink them all in one shot. So what does it mean that you are yotze? So Rav Amar yidei yayin yotza. Yidei arba kosos lo yotza. So Rashbam explains, yidei yayin yotza, mishum simchas yomtiv, kidetani lekaman v'samachta v'chagecha b'mash misamchu b'yayin, yotze simchas yomtiv, through that. Aval, yidei arba kosos lo yotza, explains the Rashbam, kulan chashuvan kos rishon lo yoser, v'tzarech lavi od shlosha kosos al haseder. Since you're drinking them all consecutive, then you're not going to yotze the dal kosos, because they have to be dispersed throughout the meal. Now, there's just, I'll raise this point, there's a big brisker rav, a famous brisker rav, based on the Rashbam's here, and Tosas earlier in the Masech, in the Perek, the nature of Dal Kosas, very similar machlokas, Chakira, as we raised to Aseba. Is Dal Kosas supposed to be just a general, was it a din in each mitzvah, that each mitzvah required, like Haggadah required a kos before it, and Halal required a kos before it, and Bench required a kos, is it a din in each particular matzah, each particular mitzvah, or there's a din in having dal kosos, they just disperse it throughout the Seder. Is it din in dal kosos, or is it really a din in each particular mitzvah? So they say, is it almost like having four kiddushim? We have one kiddush, and in Pesach we have four kiddushim. We just separate them throughout the night, or no, it's doing a mitzvah al kos shabracha. We do Abdallah al kos shabracha. We do Nisun al kos shabracha, so the kos shabracha kind of enhances the mitzvah. So is it like, again, four kiddushim, or is it really a kos shabracha on each particular mitzvah? That's how he raises it. And it's based on an understanding of the Rashbam versus the Rambam here. And then the Gemara says, what does it mean, hishka mehen levana ulevne beso yatza, that you give to your children to drink the yotze? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'hush to ashti ruba de kasa. It means where he actually drank rov kos, and then he gave to his children to drink afterwards.
So what's the
chiddush here, right?
Right. It would be yotze even if he didn't give it to the kids.
Right.
I also don't understand the chiddush from before. I mean, of course, if you drank wine, you yot simchas yontem.
Right. When I was reading this Rashbam,
thing, it's like a little bit.
There's an important. This Rashbam is very important. I'm not remembering why though. There's a very this fact that he says simchas yontem is a chiddush here, and I can't remember why.
Uh-huh.
I have an old masifta. Yeah, the new ones haven't come out, the smaller versions yet. I imagine the new Masechta would say why. There's something bigger and it's bothering me that I don't remember what it is. But in terms of the question of Ruba de Kasa, you look at Tosfos, Ruba de Kasa, there's a one-liner there, two-liner there. He says, "Hainu kamali lugmav," like filling up one cheek, k'depricious la'el, u'miu l'chachilat tzarech l'shos revis. That's what you really should have a revis. But the chiddush is that your yotze is simply having kamali lugmav and then giving the rest to your children. That also works b'di'evit, it's on the yatzah.
But still yet, he says Rav Kois.
Rav Kos, it works, but yet.
So Rav Kos, Mila Lugma, even if it's not revised, your Yotze.
What? Because we assume that, say, the Kos had a revise in it. That's had just made the sheer revise, not a large, like we have, but like a shot glass, whatever revise is. He only had Rov of that Kos.
Right.
With Rav Revius, which is Melo Lugma. That's all he had.
But nobody holds that you have to drink Revius. Everybody holds that you have to do Kiddush on Revius and you have to drink Melo Lugma. Isn't that the halacha?
No, so when it comes to that's one of the nafkamines that Mishka Rav brings, whether or not the din of Yayin, of Dal Kosos, is the same as normal Kiddush.
No, there is the additional that you need Rav Kos, which you don't need on Kiddush. On Kiddush you need to do on Revius and drink Melo Lugma.
Isn't it Rav Revius?
I thought Revius has to be the total cost.
No, you're right. No, on a normal Kiddush, you have to have a Revius and have Rav Kos.
In Pesach also, you have to do Revius, right? We hold its Revius. The cup has to hold the Revius, and you have to drink Rav Kos.
No, you're right. I'm saying that's... But Tosos argues on that. We don't hold like this Tosos. Tosos says, no, you actually have to drink a Revius. So this is what he proves. You see from Tosos that Dal Kos is not for Kiddushim. It's a special din. Okay. It's different than... That's one of the nafkamines, I believe.
Revit is from to like 25%. What's Revit?
No, it's like four ounces, I think. Four fluid ounces, right? 4.4? It's a different shiurim.
There are different shiurim, 3.3, 4.4. I think Moshe Feinstein holds 3.3.
Ounces.
Right. So like if someone, let's say a woman who's pregnant can't have too much wine, so they'll say go the most lenient sheet of 3.3, have Rov of 3.3, you know, have 1.7... of that cut, and you'll be fine. You won't see any issue with alcohol.
So is it 3.3 or quarter of
3.3?
No,
Revius
is
3.3. Okay, so what
is the... What do you... So if, let's say, a woman who's pregnant shouldn't have too much alcohol, okay. So Dal Kosos, so have a very light kal wine, have a 3.3 glass, and have Rov of that glass, you'll be fine. You'll be Yotze.
Oh, with Rov.
Exactly. Through all these shitas, you'll be Mekil. Right. Says the Gemara, halfway down, we only have 10 minutes left. Let's get this in. Masiv, the Gemara asks the following question. Dal kosos halalu tzarch sheyehe bahen kedei revius echad, revius. You have to have a revius of wine. Echad chayv, echad mazug, whether it's a completely strong undiluted, whether it's diluted the proper ratio. Echad chadash, echad yashan, whether it's a new wine, whether it's an older wine, aged wine. That's the first opinion of the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzarech Shehe Bo Tam Umara Yain, has to have the taste and appearance of wine, which means even though it might be diluted even more, as long as it tastes like wine and it looks like wine. So the Gemara says, Ketani Miat, we see from here at least, Kidei Revius, you need a Revius, Vat Amris Kos Yafe, and you told us before you need a Kos Yafe. Where did we see that before? You need a Kos Yafe? We mentioned that?
In the beginning.
So you need a Kos Yafe, which sounds like a very nice, probably a larger cup, a lot, as opposed to Revius. So why is this price limiting that you should only have a Revius, while before we said a Kos Yafe, a very nice cup, a full cup? So Amri Yidividi Chatshir, same exact shir. Kos Yafe means Revius. So my Kidei Mezigas Kos Yafe, Kidekamra Lechol Chavacha, Davilhu Kula Revius. What does it mean when you have a kadeh mizikas kos yafa? What does that mean when a person says to them? It means that you should have a full revius. Have a full revius. That's exactly the same thing. There's no stira in the language of kadeh revius and kos yafa. It means the same exact thing. Rabbi Huda Omer, tzarech sheyehe bo tam umare, has to have the taste and the appearance of wine. Amarava my time. What's the reasoning? Because the Rabbi Huda dechsev al tara yayin ki yis adam. Because it's a pasuk found in Mishlei, which says in terms of the appearance of yain, it looks red. So yain, the definition of yain, part of the definition of yain has to have the appearance of being red.
What we're talking has to be red wine. That's
exactly
what I mean. not white wine, even though.
Right, and exactly. And that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have. You
red
really
wine.
Not have to.
That's because of the levanim also, right? Or not?
Because of the what?
Of the levanim also, or not?
I think because of the dam. I think because
of the dam.
Yeah. Because of the dam. So it has to be. It's really ideally
right,
should be wine. Even if your white wine might be better than the red wine, you should really have the red wine, but it's not me'akev.
Right.
And Tana Rabbanon, Hakol Chayavim Barba Kosos, everybody is obligated in Arba Kosos, Halalu Echad Hanashim, Echad Nashim, whether it's men, whether it's women, Echad Tinokos, even children. How far should we go here? We can keep going a few lines into the next Amud. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'chimat toelas yesh li tinokos b'yayin. What good is it giving tinokos wine? That's completely inappropriate. Right. Ela machalkin lahen. Rather, it doesn't mean to give them wine. Machalkin lahen kalayos v'agozin, to give them out treats, nuts, and something that they enjoy, some snacks. Ber Pesach, on Er Pesach, kedei shlo yishanu v'yishalu, so they don't fall asleep and won't be able to ask questions. We want them to stay up to ask questions. So Amar Lav, it was said about Al Rabbi Kiva, Shehaya Mechal Klayos Ve'agozum L'tinokos Bar Pesach Kedei Shelo Yishanu V'Yishalu. This is what he did. Apparently Rabbi Kiva followed this minhag to give them out these nice treats to keep them up Bar Pesach for the Leil Seder.
He used to leave the Beit HaMikdash early on Erev Pesach to go home to make sure the kids are napping.
My
Rav told me that.
Interesting. I'm trying to see Rashbam here. Rashbi mentions that. But you're probably right, because Rekiva was only found in the Beis Medrash, so the only way this would happen is if he went home. Right, yeah.
It's interesting that the kids in those days, their snacks used to be healthy, you know, nuts. Now they have gummies and all this garbage that they eat.
Well, these weren't discovered until recently.